The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 11, verses from 24 to 28. Allow me to read the words of God. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. He replied, Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. We often get to know some heartwarming news from the media that say a certain philanthropist donated one's possessions that he or she had made through the entire life to a college or a social organization. On this past December 26th, there also was a news report saying an old lady in her 80s donated as much as 800 million Korean won that she had earned from selling street food for students of a national university based in a local area who study hard despite difficult living conditions. This was not the first for the lady. She donated 1.03 billion Korean won in 2011, and all of her real estate worthy of 3.3 billion Korean won also earned as a street vendor in 1993. In total, her donation amounts to 5.13 billion Korean won. The university granted an honorary doctorate degree in admiration in 2012 in honor of her donation. An auditorium in the college was named after her. It must not be easy to earn more than 5 billion won for peddling goods or running a street vendor. She probably could make some additional profit from real estate or be specially gifted to make a fortune. People like her get praised from others not because they acquired a great fortune, but because they gave away such a fortune. So giving away or emptying is a great virtue in our life and faith. To gather and earn something is important, but still giving away or emptying holds the same significance. There's a higher chance that those who are admired from the society gave away more than they earned and filled. The same goes to our body. Many of people who live in an advanced country get illnesses from overly accumulated fats after excessive eating. We pray before eating to thank God and the hard work of people who were involved through the process that the food finally came before us, and also the joy we can share the food. That way, the food helps us stay in healthy. But what if we just keep eating while not emptying? Then the food will rather become harmful to our body, no matter how amazing food we had. That is why emptying can also become the title of our prayers, not only being able to eat. The purpose of our life and faith, however, is not just emptying itself. emptying is a previous step of another feeling, more righteous feeling and everlasting feeling. That is why making emptying as it is a purpose could end up being in trouble, as today's scripture tells us. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find. Then it says, "I'll return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. The house in the verse means the spirit, mind, or life. Let's suppose there is a person who decided to live a new life. He or she abandoned bad habits as well as the dishonest life that he lived before. But the demon, which had once possessed the mind of this man, came back and found he has changed into a completely different person. So the demon came out again and brought seven other demons who are worse than itself, and again possessed his spirit. Then the condition of the person became worse than the first. What would be the reason that ordinary people like me cannot get free access to the blue house? Is it because the size of the blue house? Because of the building materials that are high-end? Or because the house was kept tidy and clean? None of them are true. It is because the president dwells there. Even if the house was not the blue house, but a thatched house, rooftop, or a small studio, we cannot get in there without permissions as long as the president leaves such a place. In the past, we could not get into the palace. That was not because the palace was a huge house with more than 100 rooms, but because it was a house of a king. But now we can freely access to the palace. The name only remained today, while the actual function of the palace is a park and museum. If we receive God in our soul and life, it becomes the spiritual blue house and a palace. But we should never forget that it could soon become a playground for Satan, no matter how many and invaluable things are placed other than God. So emptying, rather than filling our life and faith, matters, and filling it with something eternal is more important. The life where God becomes the owner of our life and faith, and filling it with the words of God, is the beginning and completion of the most righteous life and faith. Moreover, the word follows the verse 14. Jesus healed a person who became mute by being possessed by a mute demon. Pharisees and the teachers of the law watched what Jesus did in great awe, but did not accept that as the work of God. In fact, they couldn't. Jesus stressed that he's the Son of God. The word he gives is the gospel of heaven, And there's no exception made by God, even for those who are weary and with a miserable look, or those who are supposed to be criticized by others. But Pharisees and the teachers of the law consider Jesus only as a carpenter from Nazareth, Galilee. Nazareth at that time was one of the most remote areas in terms of both economy and politics. There was no doubt for them that a carpenter who was from Nazareth and received no education could never be the Son of God. Based on their belief, God is righteous, and God can only be the Lord for the righteous people and never be the Lord for the sinners. If God for sinners can be accepted, it could be meaningless that they determined to keep the law through the end of their life to stay righteous, as they thought. On top of that, if they accepted, they could become wrong because they stayed against Jesus so far. So they had to pause, at least to be admitted they were right. As I told you last Sunday, the modifier most frequently appear in the Bible for demons is dirty. Satan always wants to lead our thoughts and life into a dirty place. As the descendants of Adam, who were born to love committing sins, we sometimes get attracted that way unwittingly. But ever since we had received Jesus, who forgave our sins as the Lord, our Father, we cannot feel comfortable when committing sins, as if we live in others' house for no reason. Previously, we felt home when committing sins, but now we think this is not where we belong. This is because the Holy Spirit whispers that we have already become different. Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and other leaders of the faith considered keeping the law as their life. They used the law as the tool for cleaning their lives. They cleaned in an ethical perspective. But the problem lied in the fact that it was not God who became the owner of such a cleaned mindset and life, but it was their own righteousness. So the dirty demon brought seven, which is a perfect number in the Bible, seven other demons that were worse than itself and completely ruined and messed up the mind. It was totally fine that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law tried to obey the law which was given by God throughout their lives. It rather is entitled to be praised. The problem was, however, the fact that they made what they did as their standard of righteousness and had it as their tool to judge and punish those who are not able to live such a life. Matthew chapter 6 testifies that Jesus made his comment about what the Pharisees did. At the time, three devout things that the Jews did were charity, prayer, and fast. When giving to the needy, they did it at a large synagogue or street, blowing the trumpets. They showed off how good they were to give away. But Jesus called them as hypocrites, which had a literal meaning of players with wearing masks. But God said they were already rewarded for their own labor, meaning that they received the receipt. In other words, it is the same as being paid already to be praised for being an hypocrite on the street. So there is no other reward to be granted from God for such giving. Praying is the same. It is so valuable indeed. We have to pray from both long and short perspectives. However, the Pharisees prayed out loud in the street with both arms up, like the Pharisees did the same when they give things away. Pharisees did that because they wanted to show themselves to people that they were praying to God regardless of the content. They might hope to hear from others. They pray all day long. Fast is the same. Fast is not simply to stop eating. It rather is a good tool to train oneself to only have God as the purpose of life. But Pharisees emphasize the fact that they fast itself rather than the meaning of fast. They intentionally made them look pale and sad and wanted to hear that Pharisees fast often. They do it on a fast day and do it on weekdays as well. There's no clue if the number of days is larger than others. Regarding such charity, prayer, and fast, Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Pray at a chamber with doors closed. And fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." To put more simply, do not show off when living a holy life. In terms of faith and our church, do not try to become a higher branch, but become a lower branch. A woman who was touched by Jesus, who hit right at the spot to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, shouted as follows. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." The woman not only saw Jesus who was talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but also the mother of Jesus, Mary. The Jewish society at the time blessed children through blessing their mothers because they thought that the children cannot grow in a righteous way without the care and devotion that their mothers made. But it did not just happen that Mary was blessed to give birth to and raise the Messiah. It was the consequence that Mary had the Lord and the word of the Lord as the purpose of her life without fail. Mary was told from an angel Gabriel that she would get pregnant without a husband. At first, she asked back that how she could have a baby when she did not know a man. It was natural for a virgin. At the time, the angel Gabriel told her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That meant that she would have the Son of God as a virgin only with the engagement of the God Almighty. Then Mary confessed, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary should have heard from people that she gave birth without a husband. And she must have endured scornful look from others. So this confession of Mary was equal to her resolution to walk the tunnel of pain and the valley of tears throughout her life. Mary couldn't afford time to take a rest after delivery and went to Egypt to avoid the order of King Herod to kill all the babies and settle there until she died. But this way, the word of God prophesied in the Old Testament was accomplished. Mary got into the temple to obey the feast and lost 12-year-old Jesus. When Mary and Joseph came back to the temple and found Jesus, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Mary couldn't perfectly understand what that meant, but she always heeded all the words in her mind according to the Bible. She kept and followed the word. Others could just listen to the word of Jesus as that of a child, but the mother, Mary, kept that in mind. When Jesus made the water into wine, Mary thoroughly believed in the Son of God, Jesus. When the wine ran out, Mary said that to Jesus, and Jesus said, "It doesn't matter." But Mary told her servants to do whatever Jesus commands. Mary firmly believed that Jesus, the Son of God, and the Word of God has an absolute power. Mary stayed beside Jesus when he was hanged on the cross. She also was praying at the upper room of Mark with other disciples and waited for the time when the Holy Spirit finally comes in. Mary had to take the pain from the birth until he died on the cross. But she was the only person who stayed from his coming until he was ascended. And she dedicated her whole life to Jesus, the Son of God, and the Lord, and the Lord's Word. As a result, Mary became the most blessed woman. Following the touching confession of the woman, Jesus said as follows. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." If we are to become blessed, we have to listen carefully to the word of God and keep it. Do not let the evil power and the secular views sneak in our life and faith. Then you listen to the word of God. When filling our life and faith with the word of God through the word of God, then we would enjoy more blessing day by day. Today is the second Sunday of 2019. What is most frequently mentioned in a new year is "I wish you good luck." It could also be said, "I wish you enjoy a good luck," because we are already blessed. Either way, the meaning is simple well wishes. How many times we say or hear such a greeting does not guarantee that we become blessed. Those who are entitled to have a good luck or are blessed do not pray for the good luck. They are rather builders of blessings. So we as Christians should be the builders of blessings. There is a term called peace lover. They do not work for peace, no matter how much they love and like peace. They just relish the peace made by others. Those who truly work for the peace are the peacemakers who made and grow peace. They are truly the people of peace. We don't just love blessings, but we make and build the blessing. Through such a process, we all could be built. Our home and workplaces can also be built together. Our church will be built as well as the society. This is why we should say, "Let us build as many blessings as possible." If we live as a builder of blessing on the word delivered by the prophets and disciples in the grace of God and based on the power of the Holy Spirit, we should be able to find ourselves, homes, churches, and society much more built and different than before. Let us pray. Father God, through today's sermon, help us not forget that emptying is more needed than filling in our life and faith. And what is more valuable is filling with God and God's words after emptying. Help us not become absurd by adversely thinking between what is to be filled and emptied throughout our lifetime. May we not use our voluntary service for the church as a tool to show us off or to judge others. May we live as a faithful servant for the Lord, whether the work is seen or not by others. As Mary did, never try to enjoy being mother to Jesus, was grateful for being such a person, and thus became the person of blessing and the person with blessing by following God and God's words despite the pain and hardships throughout her life. May we follow her. May we become people who build a blessing instead of those who wish and enjoy blessings, so that we can be built on God's words and in the Lord day after day, and thus our home, work, church, and the society also can be built thanks to us and be blessed. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.